and welcome. It's hour number one of our radio program. Before we tell you what's coming up today on hour number one, a programming note. We are excited. The fifth hour returns. Now, last week we talked to Jim Mora, playoffs, about his career, his life and times in the NFL. This week, it might be out right now, depending on when you're listening to the radio show version of the podcast, T.J. Houshmandzadeh, a former Cincinnati Bengal wideout and a name that stands out. T.J. Houshmandzadeh, he's one of our colleagues at Fox Sports Radio, does a show on the weekend, so we caught up with T.J. Houshmandzadeh. You can hear that on the fifth hour podcast. But on this hour of radio, it's all about Thursday night football. And what a finish, an untimed down, and Washington wins on a second chance gift from the Giants. How embarrassing was that loss for Big Blue? A thorough, frame by frame, Zapruder film style analysis right now in hour number one. A giant boo-boo. Welcome in the beginning of another edition of the Ben Maller Show. We are together in the air everywhere as we bring down the house, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and mighty powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the belly. The belly of the audio beast, the Fox Sports Radio studios at a secret location in the Northwoods. So our lead this hour, you know what it is. It comes from the gridiron, billed as an NFC East slobber knocker on the menu. They were really desperately trying to hype this game up because the Giants and Washington coming in 0-1, attempting to avoid the dreaded 0-2 start. Historically, in a 16-game season, if you start 0-2, it's hey, goodbye, just like that. But it's 17 games now, so who knows if that's going to be the case. But did you watch? Did you use the most valuable currency you have, your time, to watch? Maybe you missed it. Maybe you didn't watch it. You had something else going on. There was some random movie somewhere you want to watch, or a baseball game or something. I don't know. But we watched, so you don't have to worry about it. I got your back. It's our good mitts for the day. This game actually defied the hype. I was not expecting much at all, but we had the dramatic ebb and flow, the human drama of athletic competition. Dustin Hopkins, who? He's a kicker, an idiot kicker. He made a 43-yard field goal attempt on what was an untimed down. The most exciting play in football is the untimed down. And that was after a penalty, an ungodly penalty, had negated a miss. Hopkins had just missed a field goal attempt. The time had run out. The Giants thought for a second they had won the game, and then they had thrown some laundry on the field. So Washington ends up beating New York by 1 point. So if you bet the Giants, you won the bet on the point spread. So bad beat by me in the Thursday night game. But Dustin Hopkins, he had missed the first attempt that would have won the game, as we said, but he got a reprieve, a stay of execution, because someone named Dexter Lawrence, not a household name, he is now, was flagged for being offside. And his next attempt, good, obviously, so Washington gets the wild Mr. Toad, wild ride victory. They are 1-1. The Giants go to 0-2. The better story is in the losing locker room, so that is where we're going to go first. And we will discuss the question, how embarrassing is this loss for the Giants? So on the Maller scale of humiliation, 1 to 10, with a 10 being the agony of defeat. This is a 17 on the Maller scale of humiliation. I've got malfeasance, Twilight Zone, and Butcher Knife. And we will tie all of these things together. Now, my first thought watching this game as it played out, it fed into the old axiom that we use on this show. Most games are lost, they're not won. And this was a textbook example of, it wasn't the team that had the ball last winning. That's another axiom which we don't believe in. This was the team that has the ball last that benefits from the final mistake will win the game. Inexcusable. Inexcusable. We all know that. Everyone knows that for the Giants. You can't lose that game. You can't. Everything was set up for New York at the end. They played above their means. Taylor Heinicke threw a backbreaking, what should have been a backbreaking interception, when James Bradbury came over, jumped the coverage, and set the Giants up first and 10 and the Washington 22-yard line with 2 minutes and 22 seconds left. So it was all set up, and Daniel Jones, he played a clean game. He actually looked like he knew what he was doing. He didn't look like a neophyte. Danny Dimes, as his sarcastic nickname is, the only area that you will nitpick, and it's a big one, not enough touchdowns. Not enough touchdowns. The Giants were matriculating the ball down the field, but you got to get touchdowns. Right? And the only time Daniel Jones seems to play well is against Washington. It's like he's got a voodoo doll that works against the Washington defense. And, you know, the numbers were not overly amazing, but compared to how stinky Daniel Jones has been most of his brief time with the New York Giants in the NFL here, by his standard, the bar very low, this was an A performance by Daniel Jones. He averaged almost 8 yards per attempt. 7 is average. He was averaging, that's for an average quarterback, 7 yards per attempt. He was at 7.8, had 95 yards on the ground, rumbling and stumbling. And the Giants' offense was the beneficiary of several what I would classify as questionable drive-extending penalties that really stood out like a sore thumb. And yet, even with all of that, even with everything going the Giants' way for the most part, considering the expectations, they still, in the end, committed football malfeasance as the game wound down. And Joe Judge, who we are mildly fond of, we think this guy knows what he's doing, but games like this will cause us to rethink that. He is a special teams guy. That was his background with Belichick, and he worked with Saban and all those guys. And this was undisciplined football, self-inflicted wounds, 11 penalties for 81 yards. And let's be, for both teams, Washington had a bunch of penalties as well. A lot of these did not need to be called. How about let's swallow the whistle? How about that? Now, the end, that was called, the big kahuna, Dexter Lawrence there on the defensive front, practicing strategic incompetence. And he gets to wear a jumbo-sized dunce cap, the big blue walk of shame. And wow. Now, he can share it with Darius Slayton. Now, Darius Slayton, wide receiver, he had a touchdown. So you say, well, that's good for him. He also dropped a perfectly thrown 43-yard pass from Daniel Jones in the fourth quarter that, had he caught it, it might not have been the nail in the coffin, the final nail in the coffin, but it was like the next to last nail in the coffin. Hands of stone in that moment. The whole stadium, all of television watching, and he screwed up. But I keep going back for the Giants. You're too dependent on Graham Gano, and Joe Buck was going gaga for Graham. He was all excited on the broadcast about how dependable Graham Gano is, and that's a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing to have a reliable kicker. It's a curse because field goals are the consolation prize for a drive. It's a consolation prize. You have 5 field goals in this game. 2 touchdowns and 5 field goals. Not a good enough ratio. Not a good enough ratio. It's staring you right between the eyes. Now, part B here. Do the Giants have a Saquon Barkley problem? And I'm nodding my head yes. Now, we are 12%, give or take, into the NFL season. Life comes at you fast. Saquon Barkley coming off a major injury, and he looks like he's stuck in the twilight zone. Like, he's playing as if he is a Jag, but not a Jacksonville Jag, just a guy Jag. And he is billed as the centerpiece of the offense for the Giants in the running attack, and he has not been that guy. He's been just a guy. On this night, Barkley had 13 carries for 57 yards, which does not sound particularly bad. If you didn't see the game, if you just looked at the box score, you say, well, he averaged almost 4.5 yards per carry. The word is misleading, because Saquon Barkley had a 41-yard rumble and a defensive breakdown by Washington. The burgundy and gold made a mistake. So he had 41 on one carry. The rest of the game, 12 carries for 16 yards. My computer-like brain tells me that's 1.3 yards and a cloud of dust every time Barkley touched the ball outside of that one long run. And this comes a week after Saquon had 10 carries for 26 yards. So 2 weeks into the season, and Barkley is playing like a bum, like an absolute bum. All right, last word here. So it's more of the same for the Giants. That's more of the same for the Giants. And they get a free pass because the Jets play in their same stadium. The Jets are always the punchline. But the Giants have quietly established themselves as a garbage franchise in recent seasons. And this is just another example. People were getting hyped up about the Giants, and this could be different. And now this is the big turnaround for Daniel Jones, and he's going to play great. And that means the Giants are going to win because the quarterback's going to play better. And the New York media machine hypes him up, and people start buying into it. They start feeding into this, and the fans get excited, get your hopes up, and then you are kicked in the nuts. And it happens year after year, right? Year after year. And in this case, the Giants decided to take the butcher knife out and put that into the balloon as pop goes the Giants balloon. Consistency, though. All you can ask for in life is consistency, and the Giants are giving you that. They're now 0-2 to start a season for the eighth time in the last nine seasons. Only once the last 9 years has a Giant team not started 0-2. Now, meanwhile, on the Washington side of the aisle here, Taylor Heinicke, he had the one big brain fart, which he was able to escape because of the generosity of the New York Giants bonehead penalty there. But overall, if Ron Rivera can bottle that performance, even with the egregious, horrific throw that Bradbury jumped the coverage and got the interception, even with that, if you can get that performance 15 times, Washington's going to win the NFC East. That was a win-the-division type quarterback performance. The numbers, a little skewed at the end of all things, but still, even with that, Heinicke completed almost 75% of his passes. Rock solid. Yards per attempt, slightly above average, is 7.3. He had the gunslinger 19-yard pass into the end zone to some guy named Ricky Seals-Jones. It was a great catch. Little toe tap in the end zone there for the corner touchdown. The thing that I'm scratching my head at here when you talk about Washington is their defense. I was not impressed. I wasn't impressed with their defense against the Chargers last week. I wasn't impressed against the Giants here on Thursday Night Football. They gave up 29 points. Now, it was a lot of field goals, and you'd rather give up field goals than touchdowns. But the Giants are not a good offensive team, and they were able to move the ball around pretty good. Now, they did get some help from penalties, and that both teams had a bunch of penalties. But 391 yards, that seems like a number that's too high, doesn't it, for the Giants against the Washington defense? And yeah, that's where we are right now at this moment. Now, it is the Ben Maller Show on Fox. We will hear from some of the key participants. And Joe Judge, the coach of the Giants, pointing out that even though the game was lost because of one player, he's not gonna play that game. He's not going to point fingers at one player. No.
I'm not going to put this on Dex. And I don't want to put this on Dex.
Why not?
Dex's a good player. He's a strong piece of our locker
room.
He's
that game.
He's a good teammate. He's fun to coach. He's productive for us as a player. I'm not going to put this on Dexter Lawrence.
Why not?
There's things we all have to do better as professionals, all right, but I'm not going to put this on any one player or one situation.
If there's ever an example of when you can put a game on one player, that's it. It was an untimed down, which means if he doesn't jump off sides, hello, the Giants end up winning the game. That is on him. I know you're not supposed to say that, and Judge would get killed if he said it, so he's got to play the game. But behind closed doors, that's we heard the public position. But privately, it's all on Dexter Lawrence. It's all on him at the end. The Giants win the game. It was an untimed down. All right, here is more from Joe Judge. And he is going into Bill Belichick, one of his mentors' bag of tricks here, where he talks about going to check out the videotape.
I say this all the time, and you guys kind of think I'm just giving you coach speak. Like, you come in my meeting on Monday when these guys get back, regardless of what the result was tonight, the meeting's the same meeting. This is what we did positive. This is what we have to correct. This is where we're going to be going forward. This is the focus as a team. You got to keep it here. Look, I understand on the outside world, it's that kind of greatest of all time, worst of all time. It's that emotional roller coaster. Everyone wants to go ahead and it's doomsday, you know, or you're the greatest thing in the world every week, right? That's just the nature of it. You got a week in between games, ain't Major League Baseball, it's not the NBA. It's in the deal where you turn around next day and you just go ahead and you play. So we got to go ahead and understand the truth is on the tape. The things we have to correct, they're right there in front of us. The things we have to do better as a coaching staff to put our players in better position, they're right there on the tape. The guys we're going to use to have success, they're right there in our locker room. You know, we got to make sure we just keep focused on what the process is to do it.
I think the Giants need to update. They're still using videotape. They got to update that. They got to digital. Everything's digital now. All right, here's more. One more from Joe Judge, who was giddy, fired up, excited about his quarterback, even in the loss.
I saw him do a lot of good things. Get the ball out on time, throw some good accurate passes, throw some good balls into tight coverage. Obviously, push the ball down the field. You know, on Slayton's touchdown, he made a heck of a heads-up check right there. That was Daniel on the line right there communicating with Slay and getting him going right there. He saw something he liked, took advantage of it, and obviously produced points for us.
Whoop-de-damn-do. And it's a loss. And now the one team that Daniel Jones has had a voodoo doll against, he played well. He did his part, but a loss. A loss is a loss is a loss is a loss. It is the Ben Maller Show. If you would like to be part, we'll take your phone calls here at 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. We're also available on Twitter at Ben Maller. You can give us real-time feedback throughout the overnight. We'll read a bunch of your comments on the air. On the air. Eugene, for example, in Chicago says, the New York Giants, your defense won this game. And then lost this game by not being able to watch a football right in front of your big ass. Unbelievable. Yeah. Well, it's the special teams, actually, that lost the game. But I hear you. I feel you on that. All right, the bonus baby and candid camera. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Our plan was to do what we do. You know we do. That's what we did.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Listen up, Maller Militia. The Ben Maller Show is the show of the people, by the people, for the people. Join the movement and follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow me, Eddie Garcia, your humble sidekick, the voice of reason. I'm at Eddie on Fox.
Let's go to a game together.
And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Mr. Bogdan writes in, says the great Charlie Brown would be a better coach than Joe Judge. Dwayne says, now that the monologue was wasted on the NFC least, I'm ready for the rest of the Maller Show. Yeah. Well, Dwayne, the real test is going to be next week. If you think this was bad, the Carolina Panthers and the Houston Texans are the Thursday night game in week 3. And then it gets even better after that. Well, at least we have Urban Meyer in week 4, because that's Urban versus the Joe Burrow Bengals. But next week's going to be a tough one. That's the Texans and the Panthers. Although at this moment, they're both perfect. They have not lost a game. Carolina and the Texans 1-0. Glorious, glorious, glorious. The burner account, claiming to be the number one burner account. We have many burner accounts. Says, Benjamin, the real question is how many wind sprints will Dexter run tomorrow? You can't make stuff like that up. This really just seems like we're going to see a blooper season full of bonehead plays. The Three Stooges would be proud. Ryan writes in, says, a Jag describes 98% of the Jacksonville team. Just a lot of guys. My bad. And a coach who will resign due to health issues. Yeah, I'm still not in the Urban Meyer's going to quit camp. Not this season. But if Jacksonville has a few more performances like they did against the Texans, then we can revisit this. We can circle back to this, and we'll have a longer conversation. We'll have a longer conversation is what we will do. Who else do we have? Let's see. Chris in Des Moines says, hot Giants and Lions talk. Well, Chris, we give the people what the people want. Give the masses what the masses want. Giant and Lion talk. We do have a Lion-heavy monologue coming up later in the night. Charlie in San Antonio says, Big Ben, the masses want to know, will you be playing in the Maller League? Coop worked so hard to put together, or will you big-time us and the crew again? And he says, how many plastic bottles do the Maller Militia need to gather for the $5 interest? Well, Charlie, first of all, I don't want to embarrass you guys. And if I get in that league, no one will have a shot. And I don't want to do that. It'd be unfair. You got a shot against Coop. You got a shot against Coop, Roberto, those guys. But I am a professional. I am a trained professional. I am a ninja at fantasy football. Do you understand that? So I don't want to take your money. Listen, you work hard for your money. Why do I want to take your money? I don't want to do that. No. No, 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 no.
It's $5, Ben.
That's a lot of money.
Jeez, come on. Just play in the league. What, like, participate with the unwashed here.
Listen, Coop, I don't want to take people's money. These are hardworking people, Coop, and I'd own that league. Everyone would be upset with me when I win the league, and I don't want to do that. Let's see. Who do we have? Beer Drinking Brian. We'll go to the phones. Beer Drinking Brian is up. Hello, Beer Drinking Brian.
What's up, Ben?
There he is. Do you feel like you're a zombie? Do you feel like you're a zombie at this point, Brian? That you've been in the hospital, out of the hospital, on and off for months?
Well, then my medicine got stolen. I got some of it back today that I'd go by. And then Halfpint called me from prison.
Oh, good.
He wanted to tell y'all hi, and that hopefully in about 4 months we'll be able to rejoin the militia and
all that fun
stuff.
We can't wait. Now, does she still sound the same? Does she have the great Halfpint voice, or has her voice changed now that she's not doing what she was doing?
No. She's still goofy as hell.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay.
No. That ain't going nowhere.
Well, you should tell her she's got a lot of free time now, Halfpint, one of our callers who's been locked up since the summer. So, the beginning of the summer. So, what you could do is have her, like, write songs and poetry for the show. And when she comes out 4 months from now, she'll have so much content for the show. It'll be great.
She should win the talent show somehow.
Yeah, well, the talent show, she's going to have to wait till 2022 for the talent show, the next one. Yeah. All right. Anything else? You just checking in? Yes. You're checking in to say you're alive. Yes.
I don't know. I had something to tell you, but damn, I can't remember now. Oh, yeah. No, okay. That's what I'd tell you. Right. Remember the dude that had that machete running down?
Yes, you told the story. People loved the story. You told the story about someone running with a machete. Yes, I remember that story. Yes.
Well, now, today he came by with a gun.
Yeah. You'd rather have a guy chasing after you with a machete than a gun. If you had to choose,
face planted right out front by the Povo, they came in deep everywhere.
Yeah. Now, why is this going on? Why are people running around with guns and machetes around your house? That doesn't happen in my house.
Well, because they still think there's meth around here, and they're hurting.
Ah, okay. So they're desperate for the meth, and then they're running around. They think that the machete and the gun.
Ed or whatever his name is, and he'll kind of tell you, but yeah. No, there ain't nothing around here no more, but, you know.
Okay, all right. Well, listen, thanks for the update. I'm glad.
Sir Scratchoff needs to get a hold of Tammy.
Sir Scratchoff needs, so now Sir Tammy wants to get a hold of Sir Scratchoff. Okay, all right.
Well, because he said something on the air one time.
Yeah.
With that GoFundMe thing, and nothing ever went through, so I don't know.
Okay, all right. Well, I don't know if he wants to call in. He can call in. Thank you, Beer Drinking Brian. I appreciate that. We'll move on. So, bonus baby. When Dustin Hopkins was given clemency and a second chance, there a reprieve, a government pardon because of a bonehead play by the Giants, and he then ended up with an untimed down hitting the game-winning kick. The person that was the happiest was Taylor Heinicke. Now, why was Taylor Heinicke the happiest person? Because he is the bonus baby. In his contract, every time he plays at least 60% of Washington's offensive snaps and Washington wins the game, he has a club game win bonus in the minutiae of his contract. And so for every game he plays at least 60% of the snaps and Washington wins, he gets a $125,000 bonus. So because of that mistake by the Giants, one man's garbage is another man's glory, $125,000. He gets that up for 12 wins. So I guess Washington assumed they wouldn't win more than 12 games. So they have that in the contract. But so do the math on that. And cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. At least conceivably, cha-ching, 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 because 125 times 12, that's a whole lot of cash. That is a whole lot of cash for the man, the myth, the legend. That's $1.5 million, if my Maller math is correct.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And this from baseball. This is not good news for our friend Justin Cooper, but Shohei Ohtani is not going to pitch on Friday because of a sore right arm, and they're saying, meh, probably going to go ahead and shut him down for the rest of the season.
Now, Eddie, now this is one of my pet peeves, Eddie.
Oh,
we get to this point in the year, yeah, and they say they're going to shut him down for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
The season's like got less than 2 weeks or whatever. I mean, what are we doing?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's less than 2 weeks.
I don't know why it's bad news for me. I couldn't care less.
Well, he has a sore right arm. He's got arm trouble.
Coop has not watched an Angels game since April.
Well, I don't blame him. I haven't watched a Pirates game since all season.
Yeah. Well, he went to an Angels game, but he only watched when the Yankees were playing. When the Yankees Coop didn't watch when the Angels were up. Only when the Yankees were up.
Yeah, I had a friend who went to an Angels game the other day, and he said he was complaining because they had two hits, and I'm like, well, why did you go? That's on you. It's not on them. You went. You spent your time on that? That's a bad job by you.
Hey, we were right, though. Mike Trout, Coop asked me about that back months ago in Mallard of the Third Degree. He's not coming back. He's done for the year. And he's how many months has he missed? When was he injured?
Wasn't it like a calf injury?
He was injured in May.
May. Yeah. I think it was May. Holy. So he had – now, Mike Trout back-to-back 60-game seasons, essentially. Maybe in less than that this year. Anyway, it is the Ben Maller Show as we press on here further and further into the overnight. Candid Camera, a sideline. Yes, Coop, you have something to add before I get to my Candid Camera story?
I do.
Okay, all right.
First of all, I do have something to add, but first of all, do you need help setting up your account? Is that like do you?
No. I don't want to take people's money, Coop. I mean,
we know that's BS. So
no, I'm a dominator.
You're not.
I was born for fantasy sports.
We've done this before. We've had a league before that you participated in, and I don't think you won once. So
no, that's not true. I did very well in that league.
So I think maybe you're afraid to lose $5 a week. I don't know.
No,
but anyway.
Are you trying to bully me, Coop?
That's exactly what I'm trying to do. Join the league and have some fun with us. But that being said, so... there is the week two contest is up, everybody. Right now, there are, I believe, 30 spots left in that contest. It's a 75-person contest.
Okay.
Now, I would like people... We have 130 people in the league right now, and it's a 75-person contest, so we should be able to fill it, but there's still 30 spots left. So, you know, if you're listening and you haven't signed up yet, go ahead and do that. When you see there's going to be two contests available to join the 75... person one, and it says join this one, not that one. I'm trying to get rid of that other one, but it's kind of a workaround that I have to do. Long story, but anyway, join the 75 person contest league.
All right, and so you got a good number of people in there already. Are these the same people from last week, or are these new people?
A lot of the same ones from last week, but there are new ones as well. We get new people joining the league like every day.
Good.
But not everybody that's joining the league is joining the contest. So.
Ah, okay. So some people picking their poison. I got you. All right. It is the Ben Maller Show. So candid camera. Do we have bad blood? Bad blood in the NFL. Any people reacting on the New York Giants sidelines? Did you see the kerfluffle that took place? Now, Kenny Golladay, who escaped Detroit and the Lions to go play for the Giants, one of the big changes in the NFL landscape last offseason here. And so Washington, when they took the lead late in the fourth quarter, caught on candid camera, Kenny Golladay was yelling and screaming and shouting at quarterback Daniel Jones on the sidelines after the big blue drive stalled out and the Giants had to punt. He was furious here. Angry, angry, angry. So, do we have audio? All right, let's go. We have audio here. Here is Daniel Jones asked. Now, of course, do you think Daniel Jones, I'm going to play the audio. He was asked about this. Do you think he said, yeah, Kenny Golladay wanted to chop my head off. B, that was nothing. Or C, no comment. Let's find out.
He was frustrated at the situation. I don't really think it was to me or anyone in particular. So I think, we're all good and love Kenny. I thought he played hard and did a lot of good things out there.
He wasn't showing me up individually, so part of the game, like I said, he's emotional, wants to win, and we all do. So, respect that.
Did you feel the need to talk to him after the game? Is it something you guys talked about afterwards?
Yeah, we talked and everything's good. Like I said, me and Kenny have a great relationship and excited to get back to work with him.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, don't shoot the messenger, but the only people in way of Kenny Golladay, to kind of paint the picture. So Daniel Jones is on the bench. Golladay is standing up. Daniel Jones is sitting on the bench. So Galladay's standing up. He comes over. Now there's a middle-aged white dude with water bottles that's there, and Mike Glennon, the backup quarterback, and that's it. The only other person there is in the line of the shout is Daniel Jones. That's it. So he was out, unless he's yelling at the backup quarterback or the water boy, of course Galladay's yelling at Dan Jones. Now, do I think this is a big thing? No. These things happen in the fog of competition. So be it. All right. It is the Ben Maller Show. We will have the NFL Pick'em. Excited about that. A staple. And here's the Who Am I game before we get to that. Seattle Seahawks coach Pete Carroll turned 70 years old this week. Good for him. I have the most wins coaching in my 70s in NFL history. Again, Pete Carroll, if he wins this weekend, it'll be his first win in his 70s. I have the most wins coaching in my 70s in NFL history. Who am I? The answer. Next. Icky say, hey, hey.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
From the first moment you tune in, you know the Ben Maller Show is not your garden variety sports talk. We welcome all the freaks of nature to the Maller Militia. Facebook's an online amusement park for all of us. You can chat with other super fans of the show. It's simple and it's free. Help support our show by liking our page. Go to facebook.com/Ben Maller Show. And now live in the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
We'll have the NFL pick 'em for the big weekend. But here's the Who Am I game quickly. Seahawks coach Pete Carroll turning 70 years old this week. Happy birthday. I have the most wins coaching in my 70s in the history of the NFL. That is the question. What is the answer? And many, many answers coming in here. Connor McLeod, yes, by Milkman Mike in Colorado. Jimmy from Maine. checks in with Arnie Spanier as his answer. Far out, Dave, one of my favorite purveyors of popcorn, Orville Redenbacher, as his answer. Aaron in Kansas City says Jimmy McGinty is the answer. Tom Landry from the Raider Freak, the boss. Sasha Banks from Rob in Vegas. John Thompson, oh, that's a good name there, from Justin in Cincinnati. Attila, Attila's back. Attila got this right. Bad job by you. Militia Twitter Kings going with financial expert Bernie Madoff as the answer. Rod Marinelli from Oscar. Rich Brooks from Chris in Des Moines. That's a good name. Dan Reeves, guessed by Jason in Denver. Dick Van Patten from Alf, the alien opiner in Springfield, Mass. Coop's blue checkmark account says John Robinson. Smokey Bear from the Real Martin at the airport in Denver. George Hallis from Joe. That's his answer. Matt, the Warrior Raider A's fan, got this right. Do you have an answer, Eddie, please?
Let's go with Marv Levy.
Marv Levy is your answer. Well, Eddie, congratulations. The answer is, you're right. You got it. No,
buzz
you got it right.
Marv Roberto. Levy.
Yeah, there you go.
Buzz
Marv
yourself, Levy. Roberto.
You know how many wins you got?
Roberto. How many wins?
26 wins in his 70s. That is the record. Just for the record, now I'm going to time shift the pick'em. We have plenty of time.
It's at my request.
Okay. Just for the record, before you guys start busting my balls and saying, "Well, you screwed up the clock again."
Way to go, Ben. Good job.
On time, Mallon.
Andy Reid.
No, I saved time, but there's a glitch. The computer from 1999 apparently is malfunctioned. So there's a computer issue from 1999.
I find that hard to believe.
We're trying to.
It never happens.
Fix it. Yeah. Just take out your trusty pocket knife, some bubble gum.
Did you say Discover already?
Yes.
Okay.
I go to bed screaming Discover. When I go to bed, it's Discover, DraftKings.
Buzz yourself again,
you know,
Roberto.
Yeah. Buzz you for not listening. I nailed that Discover read. That was one of the great 5-second reads in the history of broadcasting.
Getting ready for the pick'em, man.
No, they got their money's worth, okay? I go from M Drive to DraftKings to Discover. Rat-a-tat-tat. That's what I do. I scream and I shout. I read a book about Howard Stern early in his career in radio and how, like, every Wednesday he had to voice over commercials and how much he despised that, right? How much he hated that. And I was like, well, why would you hate that? You know, these are commercials. And then now, because, you know, the things are going so well for the show, we have so many more commercials that we are voicing. And so I'm living that a tiny bit, the having to voice commercials thing, which is interesting. Now, I've always had to do commercials, but the volume is a thing. Reek brought up a good point in Minnesota. He says, half pint should make all the Maller Militia personalized license plates. That would be awesome. She's in jail anyway. Wouldn't that be great? License plates?
They still do that?
How long is that?
That's a good idea. We got to talk to her about that. Brian, talk to her.